copies available to members of the committee who want them.
Yes. So I think it's been distributed to you with the bill summaries and discussion, either to the council or from the jail overcrowding project. We'll make sure you get copies.
It's probably ripping about in there. Everybody found that? Okay, do you want to proceed with the other two bills as long as you're up, and then we'll just do it that way?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
2554.
House Bill 2554 deals with pretrial release guidelines. This bill, the last bill on sentencing guidelines, this bill on pretrial release guidelines, and the following one on security release are all three policy matters that the jail overcrowding project would like to see the legislature refer to the council for study in the next interim and return with proposals for review by the legislature. Pretrial release guidelines are a, we found in examining this matter statewide, should be better organized than how they're handled now. The existing ORS have quite an array of pretrial release options. They're either not available in some jurisdictions, or where they are available, they're not used for whatever reason. So this bill would instruct the council to develop uniform criteria statewide to relate them to the existing authorizations in the statutes that would permit release decisions made about each defendant that's in custody prior to arraignment. The criteria would be based upon actual risk factors and that validly predict the designated behavior. Our bill also requires documentation of the reasons for these decisions. We think policy needs to be established there. We feel it would help us with resource management. And in this area of resource management, Mr. Chairman, I think it's important that we would feel capacity ought to be a factor in that, maybe not the governing factor, but it should be considered what's available, just as in the sentencing guidelines we talked about available resources that would affect what the guidelines look like. We also feel that's essential in these pretrial release guidelines. We propose in this legislation there be limited delegation of authority to release assistance officers and deputies, and that there be ongoing court supervision of this important function. And we think that in this process, then, we can screen individuals constantly to assure that space is available then as much as possible for those who do need to be confined. And we also have an amendment for this bill, which makes it align again with the constitutional issues of who on the council may develop these things. Thank you.
The basic constitutional issue deals with the role of the judge in that. Is that as I understand it, on the council, right?
Yes, it has executive members in that decision-making role, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any questions, or did you? Either of you want to say anything about that? Sheriff?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Sheriff Brooks, again, I would just like to say that the Oregon State Sheriff's Association do support House Bill 2554 with a proposed amendment. We think that because many police officers are designated by their judges to be release officers, that they should have the immunity proposed by the amendment.
All right, any questions on that one? Okay, House Bill 2555.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2555 has to do with uniform security release schedules. Again, this was a survey conducted by the Jail Overcrowding Project, found wide variations between counties in the amounts designated for the same offense. And while we agree, or I think the members of the Jail Overcrowding Project agreed that there are reasons for ranges and some latitude in the amount, that there was such wide variation that we thought that it should be looked at to see if this could be leveled out. Main reason for that is that with these wide variations, that it could be that because an individual's in one jurisdiction, he's confined, while, where if he were in another jurisdiction, he would not. And because jail resources are so scarce and are very easily shared between counties, we feel it's important these security release policies be made uniform. Even more important, I think, if you couple this up with another bill we have, which has to do with 24-hour availability of release authority, this takes on even added importance to the effect upon the capacity, available capacity in jails. It's important, I think, to point out that we're not advocating raising or lowering. What we're trying to do is make it more organized and uniform so that everybody operates under the same ground rules. Our members also felt that it's important to remember local uniqueness because the range would permit an offense that is high priority in one county but not in another to still be managed within a range that we propose here. And we also believe that the security release schedules should be developed on their own merit. We're not saying they ought to be adjusted to respond to jail crowding once they're adopted, but should be adjusted only based upon the results, which are, do the defendants appear, and is their conduct while on release acceptable? There's a bail summary that we turned in earlier on our bill summary that shows you the wide variation in several counties that kind of are the underlying reasons for this bill, Mr. Chairman.
Just to... two questions on this. This when you say the uniqueness, local uniqueness, and range is developed, this is the famous cattle rustling provision?
That would be one example, Mr. Chairman.
The mistake I made was asking a Washington County judge that he would probably enforce cattle rustling different in Washington County than he would down in Harney County.
I believe that's...
I find out it was just quite the opposite. The guy that was operating the rustling business in Washington County was big-time racketeer. Hmm. But is that the kind of you're talking about?
Yes.
And you would try to find some way to come up with a range?
Yes.
That would be interesting to see.
Either by offense or by some grouping of offenses so that difference could be taken into account.
Judge?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm taking the risk of telling you something that you know very well, but I think it's so important that I'll take that risk. There are three kinds of people in jails. The first person is the person that's being held for trial. That, of course, is what 2555 is directed at. The second kind of person is the person who has been convicted and is waiting to be sentenced. Sometimes this is quite a long period. It usually depends on getting a pre-sentence report. The third kind of person is the person that's been convicted and sentenced to time in the jail. So the three of those we've examined quite carefully and have some handle, not a complete handle, on what's the makeup in most jails as divided between these three classes. Thank you.
Thank you. Just another question, Mr. Watson. Because Section 3 of this bill, and maybe I'm reading this wrong, when the Criminal Justice Council has adopted a security release schedule, the schedule shall govern all magistrates. Now, wouldn't that first have to be enacted by the legislature? Or am I just reading that wrong? It would appear to me from reading Section 3 that once the council is adopted, that becomes the schedule, and I don't know whether I'm just...
I think we'll have another amendment that matches it with the first two, Mr. Chairman. That was an issue raised this morning. Is that what we agreed, Paul? We'd have to come in to make that constitutional issue resolved if the council is going to adopt rulemaking authority.
Thank you. Any questions? Further questions? Thank you. You want to do 2556?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill,
Phillips.
Just so I understand the procedure, they're not the only ones that have signed up on the bill, but as long as they're there, you're going to go through
as long as they're there, and then we've got the Criminal Justice Council going to go through there. We'll have them do the same thing. And it looks like most of the sign-up lists mirror each other, so we'll just have everybody do each of these as we're going through.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 2556 is a availability of a release authority at the jails. We think this is a... practice that should be encouraged. There are 18 counties that now have release authorities. Some combination of those designated by the court release officers, or it's been delegated to either jail personnel, sheriff's personnel, or community correction staff. In some combination, 18 counties permit 24-hour review of individuals for release. Their length of stay is in the range of 2 to 4 hours before a release decision is made. When that staff is not available, the time goes up to many hours and several days, with the top being about 4 days without a release authority available. This, of course, then adds, we think, unnecessarily to the jail crowding problems that are confronting the state all the time these people are held and then ultimately released anyway, really adds unnecessarily to the jail crowding problems. One feature we've discovered is that the counties that have this authority to release quite often are very frustrated by counties who do not. So in a sense, they're housing for someone else and are penalized because the other authority does not have a release, someone to make the release decision on duty 24 hours. We also think it's very important because this continuous screening and release, again, permits us to more effectively manage available space, and current surveys indicate that 60% of jail inmates are in pretrial status, and that's what this is targeted at. We think this bill could avoid added expenses that has been raised as an issue in House Bill 2093, which has been before this committee a couple of times. Our proposal is to delegate it, as it is in 12 counties now, delegated to non-court personnel to make these decisions. And this avoids the added expense, particularly in smaller jurisdictions where it's not a full-time job, and some of the smaller counties in more rural parts of the state, if this delegation is acceptable to the legislature, would permit all counties then to have this authority without the necessity of hiring additional staff. And it does provide for magistrates to retain the ultimate authority in the decision-making. So.
Questions on that? This is, and it's the other one we've heard on the same subject is House Bill 2093. That's the
Commission on Judicial
I think they felt that they wanted to let this bill take precedence. Okay, any further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
Appreciate your being here. Okay, we're going to go through the same procedure now on those same four bills that we would with Judge Beatty and company. Following this, we'll have Mr. Cornbrett, and then on the same four bills, Mr. Snyder, Mr. Garrison. And I believe that's everybody that signed up on those bills, so we'll just rotate that through. Good
day. Mr. Chair, my name is Ann Schmidt. I'm the chair of the Legislative Committee for the Oregon Criminal Justice Council. We're here today to primarily request time to discuss 2715 with you, and I'll address the other bills in a moment, if I might. We have no position on 2553, 2554, 255, or 2556.
Okay, well, then I'm sorry, I misunderstood this. You're signed up, the judge signed up on all four of those bills, so that was why I was going to have you up, and I just assumed wait on 2715. But
fine.
Did you want to say something on these other four?
Well,
Mr. Chair, we will have a meeting on the 25th of March, at which time the council will officially take a position on these bills.
Oh, okay.
If the work session on the bills is scheduled after that date, then we can dialogue with you at that time on our position.
Okay, let me just, if you don't mind, I'll go through the other people that want to be heard on these four bills, and we can get those off the dock, and then we'll get you back up on 2517 if we could, 2715. Okay, Cy?
Cy Cornbrook, Federation of Oregon Patrol and Probation Officers. I signed up on 2552, and I should not have, we do not have a position on that dollar amount bill. On the other bills, we are opposed to them. We are not opposed totally to some of these concepts and to looking at some of them in the interim. We are strongly opposed to the idea that the risk studies are the magic bullet, and that somehow we have managed to transform by a wave of the wand a group predictor to a predictor of individual behavior. Everybody from Joan Petersilia from the RAND Corporation down will state and has stated publicly that risk predictors predict group behavior. They do not predict individual behavior. And yet, we hear that we can now safely predict through toting numbers individual behavior without human hands being involved in it. There's a recent study in Portland by Todd Clear on a number of closed cases, and the most accurate predictor was the prediction of the probation officer at the time of the PSI, who had all the other facts, but also had the attitude of the person in front of him. This is true with jail release, too. There is an attitudinal factor when you talk to people. We are opposed to the sentencing guidelines for another reason. If you do not want somebody to go to prison, we feel you should make the crime a misdemeanor so the person cannot go to prison. If you feel that repetitive criminal conduct calls for prison in a misdemeanor case, then the district attorney should be allowed to plead and prove priors, and that person can go to prison. It's basically it's dishonest to tell the public the crimes are felonies, but we'll never send them to prison. I have some more specific problems with 2715, but in general, those are the problems that we have with risk sentencing, with sentencing guidelines, that they allow us in the criminal justice system to hide behind rules that nobody in the public can ever understand and look and say, oh yes, it's a felony, but they'll never get there. If you really don't think they should get there, bite the bullet and make it a misdemeanor. They won't get there. But that's feelings. And if you want further, look at the state of Washington that is locked in to a program where felons under certain circumstances can never go. You don't need a pre-sentence. You just tote all the factors up beforehand, and probation is a final sentence that cannot be violated. It's a problem.
Questions? Thanks, Ian. Okay. Paul Smitter?
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, I'm Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties. With me this afternoon is Darrell Gerritsen, who is the chair of the Oregon State Bar Detention and Corrections Committee. We'd like to just comment very briefly on these four bills as a whole. The Association of Oregon Counties supports all four of these bills, House Bill 2553 through 2556. I've mentioned before to the subcommittee the jail overcrowding crisis with which the counties have been faced. We see these measures both individually and collectively as a good approach to bringing things back into balance within the criminal justice system insofar as it affects jails. We think they represent a statewide, system-wide approach to the problem and provide a decent mechanism by which to address those problems. We're also agreeable to work with other people, other individuals, and other groups with respect to issues that do arise as to any or all of these measures. Especially, Mr. Chair and members, with respect to the sentencing guidelines measures, I think it's important to emphasize the fact that the Criminal Justice Council, the Oregon Jail Overcrowding Project, the Corrections Division, and a growing number of judges have reached the conclusion that sentencing guidelines are a viable and appropriate approach to deal with the front end of the correction system, to bring it back into balance and to keep it within balance based upon some articulated purposes for the system. Now, we have got a couple of spots where we disagree in terms of specifically how that ought to be done, but I think the more important point to be made at this juncture is that there's a great deal more agreement than there is disagreement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Darrell Gerritsen, Chairman of the State Bar Detention and Correction Committee. We have unanimously have endorsed 2554, 2555, and 2556. We have no position on 2553. In particular, in regard to 2556, the idea of 24-hour release in all 36 counties is an idea that we just, it was in the feeling of the committee, an idea that we cannot afford not to implement. To lose a bed day because you're delaying a release decision on somebody you would in fact release is a waste at this particular time. In regard to the other two bills, it's our feeling that until the planners, the resource planners can have some sort of predictability, we will always have a problem in determining what resources we in fact need. If you have some form of guideline as it relates to security release, you can at least take the previous year's crime statistics and draw some conclusions as to what kind of pretrial release beds you're looking at. And if there's any, unless there are any questions, that would conclude my testimony.
Any questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you
very much. On 2553, Mike Dewey.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I would speak very briefly to 2553 and 2715. You should not take.
I'd like to wait on 2715.
Yes,
if we could.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mike Dewey, representing the Oregon Circuit Court Judges Association. I'm not going to discuss sentencing guidelines, but in terms of the Executive Committee of the Oregon Judges Association, we feel that it is appropriate that circuit court judges have an opportunity to participate in the guideline structure. The Criminal Justice Council now, under Oregon statute, the circuit court judge or district court judge, there may be one member from the trial court. Judge Beatty serves in that capacity and does an excellent job. If this committee moves ahead with sentencing guidelines, it would be our preference that the statute be amended so that there be more than one circuit court judge on the Criminal Justice Council. There is some sort of precedent for that. There are five circuit court judges by statute that serve on the Advisory Commission on Prison Terms and Parole Standards. And we would hope that you would consider that when you move forward with this legislation, because when it's all said and done, the judge is the individual that has to impose that particular sentence. Under 2553, we do like the provision in Section 7 that imposes the allows the opportunity for the judge to impose a sentence outside the guideline under certain circumstances. We hope that you will take our consideration under advisement.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Dewey. I'm wondering if we were to change the construction of the Criminal Justice Council, it would require, I believe, a change in a different statute. So if you have that concept coming in from the circuit court judges, we would need to find a means to do that if that's an interest to you. And you might want to talk to Ms. Bogan about that.
We're very serious about it, and so
yep.
we'll look at that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Lindy, did you want to comment on 2534, 2535, and 2556?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Bill Linden, State Court Administrator. The Judicial Department has not yet taken a final position on these three bills, and we will by the time work session rolls around. But I wanted to raise with the committee some issues that some of the judges who have responded to our request for a position on this bill, these three bills, have raised. And it really boils down to a sort of a philosophical issue of where are the pretrial release programs going and who ought to be running them. Under existing law, the pretrial release function is very clearly a judicial function, and it involves the exercise of a considerable amount of judicial discretion. Under these three bills, I'm referring to 2554, 2555, and 2556, one of the bills sets in place a mandatory release matrix, which would be developed by the Criminal Justice Council. Another one sets in place a uniform security release amount schedule, which would be set by the Criminal Justice Council. All of the judges I have talked to concerning this bill say there go the two areas whereby right now the judiciary exercises most of their discretion in terms of the pretrial release function. There was the feeling that if you couple those changes with a recognition that jail population concerns are going to become a legislatively recognized primary or important purpose of the pretrial release system, and that you further recognize that it's the executive that's on the spot in terms of jail overcrowding, in the sense, as Sheriff Burks mentioned, that the sheriffs are the ones who have to worry about the population limits on a daily basis, that this might as well be made an executive function because, number one, most of the discretion the judiciary is given right now would be taken away by the mandatory matrix and the uniform security amounts. And secondly, if jail overcrowding becomes a focus of the pretrial release system, and it isn't in current law right now, the focus is on the defendant appearing for trial under the least onerous conditions possible, that most of the judicial role has been carved out, and it may be a opportune time to make the policy choice about turning this function over completely to the executive. This would also eliminate the problem we have right now of judicial officers, and I think it's anticipated under these bills, of judicial officers delegating judicial authority to executive branch officials. I haven't had a chance to read the Attorney General's opinion on the executive judicial problems relating to the sentencing guidelines, but I will, and I'm not certain if they get into this area, but there is a considerable amount of concern among the judiciary about the delegation of discretionary authority to executive branch correctional officers to use in the release function. So I raise those concerns with especially us by the judges who are out there providing these services right now.
Questions? Thank you, Ms. Lennon. Anyone else who wishes to be heard on 2552 through 2556? Good. I think we'll move to House Bill 2715 then. Judge Beatty? Playing musical chairs with you guys today. But appreciate that.
Let's get our exercise.
I guess I would appreciate Judge Beatty's response if, at some point, if he's in a position to respond to maybe some of the philosophical points that Mr. Linden raised in his last comment about, you know, where the judicial function lies and where the executive department lies. I mean, we hear more and more about impermissible commingling of different power by different branches, but it seems to me that whether we're more conscious of it or whether this is something that we've lived with for a long time, I would appreciate, if you wish, Judge, your comments, or if that's something that your counsel has considered in preparation for these issues.
Well, Mr. Chairman, again, Jack Beatty, Vice Chairman, Criminal Justice Counsel, specifically on the issues raised by Mr. Lindemann in 2554 and 2555, you have before you a memoranda from me as an individual. The council has not yet taken a position on these bills, but because the committee is moving rapidly, I thought it appropriate for me at least to give you my individual thoughts on this, subject to being overruled or reversed at least by not as to my opinion, but as to what the council does subsequently. And they involve some of these questions that you raise. Both of those bills require the council to, in effect, adopt by rule pretrial release and uniform statewide release schedules. Under the Attorney General's opinion, which is consistent with previous Attorney General's opinions, states that under the Oregon Constitution, which has a peculiarly tight separation of powers provision compared to other state constitutions and the federal constitution, that an agency or a group or individual in one branch can't exercise the powers in another branch, except in those rare exceptions when traditionally and indeed at common law, why the functions have been exercised by both branches in some instances. Now, if this process that is proposed by the, as Mr. Watson indicated to you, is to be delegated to the council as a, in effect, an ongoing responsibility, then you would have to go through the same process that we have gone through in creating the mechanism to handle criminal justice, or to handle the sentencing guidelines. Now, sentencing guidelines are unique because sentencing, there are elements of the executive branch and the legislative branch and judicial branch. But with if you do that, you are in effect building into the council this kind of bifurcated procedure on not just one overriding concern, but you're doing it in other matters, and I think as a matter of policy, it is questionable whether the council ought to be functioning in these. Both in terms of how the council operates and in terms of the powers that that they propose to give to the council. Most of the critical decisions on pretrial release and bail release now are being made on the basis of available jail space. And I venture to say that any statewide release schedule, bail release schedule, pretrial release schedule, that could be adopted by anybody on a statewide basis would keep in jail far more people than are ever going to be let out. In Multnomah County, you remember last week or 2 weeks ago, Judge Ellis's report that they 62 out of 72 of the people that were released had failed to appear at least once, and many of them twice. So the problem isn't going to be solved at this moment simply by creating this mechanism. Secondly, if the committee is satisfied that there is a problem and it needs to be dealt with, and that it's documented, then it seems to me it has several other choices. It can direct the judicial department.